Welcome to the AVOD, this week brought to you by Noisy Outside Construction.
That worked out much better this time.
Thank you. What our viewer doesn't know is that I needed a couple of takes to get that right. Because unlike the Dive Mistress, I don't write things down. I just think I can freestyle it. And I totally can't.
No.
Oh, it never goes well. All right, so I believe we have stuff to talk about. Dive Mistress, do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Fantastic. Would you like to start with some random crap, or should I?
Well, you had a question you wanted to pose to the internet.
I do have a question I want to pose to the internet. Is Google Analytics broken?
I don't know.
Okay.
What happened?
I am not complaining about the amount of people who come to my website. I'm completely satisfied with that. If people want to know why that guy in that episode of Criminal Minds stuttered, I'm where they go. I am completely fine with that. Here's my problem, okay? There is a movie that I've gotten a lot of traffic from. That movie is the movie Chain Letter.
Yes.
Because it is terrible and makes no sense. Okay?
Yes.
And how shall I put this? People have no idea who the killer is or why he was killing people. So I went to the trouble of figuring out who the killer in Chain Letter was. And I was noticing that people were...
You went to the trouble of figuring it out.
Well, you saw that movie. You know what I'm talking about.
I know. It's just a funny thing to say.
Okay, you're right. The point is, I noticed that a lot of people were getting to my website by typing in, who was the killer in Chain Letter? And since I hadn't really spelled it out, I wrote a post called, who was the killer in Chain Letter? Specifically to service those people. Okay?
Yeah. Very kind of you.
So now, if you type, who was the killer in Chain Letter, into Google, the first result that comes up is my article, who was the killer in Chain Letter. Okay?
Okay.
And I've got like 16 people last month who searched for some variation of who was the killer in Chain Letter, came to the website long enough for analytics to register it, and then immediately left.
Right.
And I'm like, Is it not recording their gifts? Sorry, their gifts. Their visits accurately? Because I don't understand how someone goes to the internet to find out who the killer is in Chain Letter, finds a website specifically devoted to telling them, clicks on that website, and then immediately leaves before reading and finding out who the killer in Chain Letter is.
Well, have you clicked the link? Maybe it's not taking people to the article.
I have. It is.
Oh. Maybe it's just not what they were looking for.
Okay, you...
Or maybe you have offended them in some way, and they don't, like...
I mean, honestly, the likely answer is that Castle Vargelon is so ugly that people see, you know, 1 second of it and flip immediately. But
yeah.
I'm choosing instead to believe that it's a problem with Google Analytics.
Other than redesigning... Well, it's not that ugly, is it?
I don't think it's that ugly.
You need a new... picture. I can make a new one for you.
Okay, give me a new picture. All right. But anyway, so that's my bizarre question. And oh, by the way, here's something fun. I don't know who did it, but my research for the who is the killer in Chain Letter now appears on the Wikipedia entry for the movie.
Really?
I'm not credited. But somebody, given the wording and the, you know, the specific fact that no one else would have gone through all this nonsense, I can extrapolate that someone read my post and then just copied the information to Wikipedia.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should create an account, log in, and then footnote it.
Footnote it to post.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I could totally create a Wikipedia Vargelon account. I should totally do that. Because, you know, people need to know about me.
No, you just need to go in there and footnote things.
I know, you're absolutely right.
When you've been plagiarized on the internet.
Have been plagiarized. I wasn't thinking about it in such stark terms, but yeah, I have been plagiarized on the internet. That Wikipedia goon didn't do his own research.
Well,
I guess he did the research insofar as he read my website, but, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't properly attribute his research, I guess is
there
what
There you
I'm
go.
Saying. The internet, the fight for proper attribution. Okay. I believe you had some random crap as well.
I did. I watched a trailer today. This is big news because I haven't watched movie trailers in ages.
Which is odd because your trailer reviews is one of the most popular things about your website.
You're just making stuff up. You don't know that.
No, I'm just encouraging people to go to your website and check out your trailer reviews. And I was trying to do it subtly. But no, you got combative about me complimenting you. So wrap up. I guess we know who won this exchange.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Watch the trailer for The Darkest Hour.
Is this the weird movie set in Russia?
It's set in Moscow.
So I was right.
And yeah, so anyway, I'm not going to get into what the movie's about. The trailer shows a lot of the special effects that will be featured in the movie, particularly people dying.
Okay.
And I feel like I didn't need to see that in the trailer. It sort of, it doesn't ruin the movie, obviously, because I don't know what this movie's about. But at the same time, this is going to be an effects heavy film. One of the effects is going to be how these people die in this really crazy way. And the trailer is just chocked full of it.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to ask, what is the crazy way in which these people die?
Well, they kind of disintegrate into this sort of swirling ash thing.
Oh, okay. So not dissimilar to War of the Worlds.
So that was
just a heat ray.
Yeah, no, this is, I guess it's sort of along those lines. I don't know, I don't really remember much about War of the Worlds. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But I just felt like the trailer didn't really need to showcase that.
Okay.
Like it did.
And, I mean, is there enough other content in the trailer that it could be interesting without that?
Well, I feel like there could be, but the trailer was just
overly focused.
Dying.
Okay. It was, I'd say, excessively focused on the manner of death.
Yes.
Much like an episode of CSI.
So I feel like, you know, if you're going in to see the movie and didn't know that about it, it could be kind of a cool effect the first time you see it.
Right.
But the trailer leads me to conclude that the film also will be overdone with this particular method of dying.
I would say almost certainly, because it's not like the Highlander situation is ever going to happen again and someone is going to shoot a whole lot of new footage just for the trailer.
Well, seeing as how well that went over.
I know. I don't think anyone's ever going to try that particular gimmick to get people to watch their movie again.
Right.
Oh, God. Let's see. Oh, I had another piece of random crap, but I'm going to have to be very coy about it because I understand you are not caught up on Supernatural.
No, I got really upset at the beginning of the season.
I'm
not going to go into.
Okay.
And I haven't watched much of it.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say a bunch of it is worth watching.
I know. You told me that I was at episode 5. I will be very, very happy.
Yeah, there's an episode coming up you're going to be very happy with, although, as usual, I'm not going to tell you why.
I can imagine why.
Okay, well, you're still not being told. I am neither confirming nor denying your suspicions. Point is, there's an episode that made everyone very happy, so I think that you are a subset of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just two things I want to call out. Well, three things, really. They had a character, I'm just going to say, a character, I'm not going to go any more than that, do something that I considered unforgivable, and then kind of let that character off the hook.
Right.
And I hope it's going somewhere because they seem to have kind of just dismissed it, which would be really not cool if they did that. That's A. Okay. B, they really stupidly went back to a well they should not have gone back to.
Oh.
Like, okay. And I'm just going to, this one I can just tell you because the second the episode starts, you're going to know exactly what they're doing.
No, they
can go back to the ghost facers. I don't care. No, you remember when the shapeshifters made it look like they robbed a bank?
Yes.
And then the FBI chased them for a season, and then they had to confront all that.
Yes.
They do that exact plot again.
Oh.
Here's the worst part. It's not just the exact overall plot. It is the exact execution of the plot, to the point that they're sought by the FBI and the police, right? A cop, sees the real shapeshifter. the, you know, cop helps them escape, and then 1 second later, the villains show up and murder, you know, the cop and everyone in the police station.
Oh, shit. Like,
it's the exact same episode to an offensive level. And the reason they shouldn't have opened the door is not just that, is not just that it's the exact same episode, but the things that the villains have bootleg Sam and Dean do are so excessive that they could never again appear in public.
Right.
They are literally America's most wanted felons.
Oh, shit.
And so I can't, like, there is no way that you can believe that they can then walk into a town and flash an FBI badge and anyone in police law enforcement would not know their faces.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know why the show did this unbelievably stupid mistake, but wow, it was like off the rails bad.
Oh, no.
But on the upside, you know, that same episode, they introduced this season's villain. Mm-hmm. And it's James Patrick Stewart.
Now, oh, okay. I can get behind that.
And the thing is, James Patrick Stewart playing a corporate D-bag, which is all he ever plays, but that's because he's the world's best actor for playing that.
Right.
I mean, he's perfect at it. Honestly, I first saw him do it on the Andy Richter show, you know, and I think the show Better Off Ted, which was the Andy Richter show, if his character was the main character, would have been a better and more of a success had he played the character again. But you know what? That's an argument for another time. I'm just saying, he's the main villain this year. He's fantastic in the two episodes I've seen him in. He really gives me a lot of hope for the rest of the season. But okay. Which I would like you to get caught up on over Christmas hiatus.
I will. Because I think if I could just sit down and just watch a whole bunch all in a row.
Yeah.
That's better than having, like, week by week for me. Just
honestly, episode 9 was a ridiculous cliffhanger. And killing me having to wait to see how they...
See? That's just it.
Yeah. So, I do totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. So, with that out of the way, with my complaints about Supernatural out of the way, let's move on.
Okay, so we watched 3 movies this week again, went back to Netflix and just picked 3 at random. It worked a little bit better for us this week, I think, than last week. Although it's a sliding scale of success that we work on here at the Avon. So our first film of the evening is called Shadow. David is on a bike trip through Europe. He's been looking forward to this for a long time. Everything is going great until he runs afoul of a couple of assholes, hell-bent on killing him for no good reason. It's out of the frying pan and into the fire when David and the assholes all wind up imprisoned by a bad doctor type who likes to cook people while they're still alive.
Okay, I have a question for you.
All right.
Okay, would it surprise you to discover that my only notes for this movie is that, you know, I take notes when I'm watching a movie, is I have no idea why they're so excited about murdering him.
Yes! That was... I don't really know what word to use to describe that.
Yeah, it's not like one of those situations where, like, someone runs afoul of, you know, some hillbillies, and then the hillbillies are just like, oh, let's scare them city folk, and try to run them down with a car, and then they accidentally run down one of the friends while driving, and then they're like, oh my god, we've gone too far, we've got to kill the witnesses, or else we're going to, because they're going to talk about it. It's not like that. Like, literally...
That was really elaborate.
Yeah, but tell me you haven't seen that exact movie a bunch of times. Anyway, my point is, the main characters do something to annoy the hillbillies. They scare off a deer they were going to shoot. And the hillbillies immediately decide an appropriate response for this is to murder the heroes.
Yes.
Because one deer was scared off by people who were then going to leave.
Yeah, it is. It's a wildly... What's the word I'm looking for?
Extreme overreaction?
Yes, thank you. I knew it started with an E and had an X in it.
Okay.
extreme overreaction on the part of the hillbillies. Not really hillbillies.
No.
But whatever.
American.
But also, the movie's, I think, 70 minutes long.
I know.
So it's which I think technically qualifies it as a short film.
It is, yeah.
So they just kind of got to keep it going. They got to keep it moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the film has a lot of forward momentum.
Yeah.
Which is driven by David's being chased, by the hillbillies. which then it just gets worse from there for David and the hillbillies. So it was really over the top, and uncalled for.
Yeah.
But at the same, so it did kind of bother me because it's right out of nowhere. But at the same time, I think the film itself is actually pretty well made.
It's a good looking movie.
I'm not willing to let it slide, but yeah. It bothered me less than this movie. Again, just I think because it's so short and they have to cram all of their action into 70 minutes.
It's weird because it's 70 minutes long, which seems like it could be packed with incident. But not a lot actually happens in this movie.
It's just, well, there's a lot of chasing and running away.
Yeah.
And then a lot of being captured and tortured.
Yeah. I mean, it honestly, in a way, it feels kind of more like the outline of a movie than a movie. You know?
No, I think that's the way to describe it.
Yeah, and it's like, here's the kind of movie we want to make. And instead of writing a whole movie, they just took the kind of movie they want to make document and made it. Because yeah. there's almost no dialogue. You know, there's very little dialogue. There's almost no characterization. And there is a twist that is pretty obvious. But I wasn't surprised. I mean, should we give away the ending at this point, or is this movie?
No, I don't want to give it away because, as I said, I think it's well made, and I think.
Okay, you know what? People can check it out. It's on Netflix. It's not hard to track down. So I'm not going to give away the ending. But oh god, I did say there was a twist though. That's going to ruin it for people. I'm sorry. Pretend to hear that. I'm just going to say, although I was not surprised to discover the twist, I was surprised by the specific nature of the twist.
Yes, that did surprise me as well.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I wasn't quite
ready for that, and I liked it.
I did too.
I think well done.
I think that was a nice follow-up, and it explained a couple of things about the movie. But yeah, there's a point at this movie where I think it becomes clear that whatever is apparently going on is not what's going on. I think it's fair to say that. You know, when magic turns out to be real. It's fair to say that it's kind of obvious. But I did enjoy it. I think it's worth watching. You know, it's an effective little thriller, even if, you know, it's not as well put together as it might be. And, I mean, honestly, there's enough here that they could have, if it was fleshed out a little and the characters were better established, you could have gotten 90 minutes out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say I'd like to see a second draft.
Okay.
Because I don't, again, like you said, I don't think they quite got to the first draft stage.
Really didn't.
Yeah, I think outline is a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I've seen worse movie. You know, I've seen...
Oh, yes!
And, speaking of, you know, movies we're going to watch today. No, it is like there are plenty of films that are worse put together than this one, and I don't want to damn this with faint praise. It's absolutely a competently executed movie. The performances are fine, even if their actions don't make the most sense at times. Everybody, you know, puts in a good performance, and yeah, I completely recommend this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. But that leaves us, because it's so short, it leaves us without a lot to talk about except for excellent camera work and beautiful locations. And since, you know, it would take us 1,000 words to describe those, let's just move on to our next movie.
Okay. Our second movie of the evening is The Last Resort. Kathleen and her girlfriends head to Mexico for Kathy's bachelorette, and it's a drunken good time until four of them get themselves robbed and stranded in the middle of nowhere. Luckily, they find shelter in a nearby abandoned resort. Unluckily, the place is kind of haunted. So when Sophia shows up to rescue her friends, they're beyond help. I like to point out that it's Sophia, and not Kathleen, the bride-to-be, who is the hero of this movie.
Really the main, entirely main character.
Yes.
Yeah, she gets the most story and the most characterization and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, The Last Resort.
I feel like these guys are like, hey, I've got access to this abandoned resort. Let's make a movie. And that's fine if that's where you want to start, but you kind of need to move forward from there.
You need something beyond just having a location. And the twist that it turns out the location used to be inhabited by a group of Sadian hedonists. Mm-hmm. And they took Sadian hedonism too far. And
is that really a word? Or are you just making that
up? It is. It's in the manner of the Marquis de Sade.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, in the style of his writing. Because there's sadism, which is just the cruelty. But there's Sadian in the style of his writing, because the things that were going on that resort and the idea of having a resort to do everything to excess is all from 100 Days of Sodom.
Which I never saw and never will see.
No, don't see it. If that in any way sounds like an enticement to see 100 Days of Sodom, please be disabused of that notion. No, don't see that. But anyway, but you obviously got the reference, right?
I will admit I wasn't paying very close attention, and for some reason I seem to remember them talking about it being a resort for libertarians.
Well, they did talk about freedom a lot, but it wasn't so much libertarian as, you know, again, I don't think libertarian.
But I certainly got the hedonistic part of it all. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty clear.
It's just, you know, the whole idea of taking all human pleasures to the extreme.
Gotcha.
And the fact that they talked excessively about being free to do that and free from interfering people who keep them from doing that makes it sound more like they're libertarians than they actually are.
Yes, okay.
They're really just twisted, monstrous hedonists.
Once again, I wasn't paying too close attention to what was going on.
You know what? That's fair. It's not like it's super important. The motivation of the ghost.
It's actually not important at all, because it's all dumped on you at the end of the movie.
I know.
Through voiceover. So.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You weren't missing a lot, I guess.
Also, I'd like to point out that the man who does the voiceover exposition at the end of the film to explain to you everything that happened.
You just saw. Yeah.
Saw is not the same actor who played
him at
the
beginning.
Marquis de Sade character who appears at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm not the only one who found that weird, right?
That's
sloppy.
I have no explanation. I don't know why that happened. I guess they attacked that on afterwards, and they couldn't get the guy back in to do.
Gee, I wonder why he wouldn't have wanted to come back. Now I'm just being mean. Seriously, though, this was not a good movie. Can we just disabuse people of
and
the notion?
Also, in spite of the fact that they had access to this abandoned resort, they seem to have had limited access to extras.
Yeah, I know.
Or a nightclub.
I know.
Like, the rest of it, every other location was so sad and cheap.
I know.
And
so
lacking in substance.
Yeah, it did not look great. They had one location. They wanted to get the most out of it, but then they decided not to set the whole movie there, as they probably should have.
Yeah.
No, it was very sad looking. And let's not forget that this is a movie about, like, I'm going to say, there is a time you check out of being involved at all in a horror movie, and that is when your characters willfully throw themselves into danger. Because the reason four of them, like, one of them is often a booty call, so the other four of them, you know, go off, and this is what actually happens. They're like, hey, two strangers on a beach who own a van told us they're tour guides. Let's just go off with them. What? Two people, like, the thing is, you obviously went to a, it's not like You know, you're adventure tourists who went to some out-of-the-way place. You obviously went to a regular tourist town. There are tourist traps set up. There are bars full of Americans. If you wanted to take a tour, I'm sure there are vans with, you know, colorful writing on the sign who can do that on the side, who can provide that service. You don't have to get a van with creepy strangers.
Yeah.
That made no sense. But again, it's like they wanted to put in the least amount of effort writing the movie as possible. Can we just get them out there? Can we just have them go? Who cares why? God.
Yeah.
Come on, it's harder to make a movie than we thought. And that's the title of this week's episode. Oh, my God. But you see what I mean about they I don't believe anything the characters did. And I think that kind of hurts the movie.
Yes.
Especially when before they're seemingly affected by the mansion, unless the mansion also turned everyone into huge bitches to one another.
No, they were bitches before they got to the abandoned resort.
No, that was my point.
Because, you know, when you have a group of girls, they're going to be catty and bitchy to one another all the time.
Heard that. I've heard that women are bitchy to each other all the time.
Yes. No, women are incapable of forging loving, caring friendships with one another, with other women.
If there's one thing I've learned about that life from movies, it's that.
Yes.
Oh my God, they're such bitches. They say such horrible things to each other before they're possessed by demons that make them say horrible things to each other. It's to the point where, you know, you don't really notice the change when they're demon possessed until they start eating rotten food. Like, what?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you women? Yeah, I was very, like, I didn't understand that part of the plot at all. You know, it's like, but again, it's the thing you always complain about, you know, it's conflict for conflict's sake. Like, they don't actually build people with enough character to have real conflicts with one another. So they just have to people...
To one another, yeah.
Yeah, they just have people be a-holes to each other all the time.
Yes. Oh, that's how you write a character.
Yeah. And, by the way, it's not sexist to call them bitches. You haven't seen the movie, okay? If you've seen the movie, you'll understand why we're calling them bitches. Wow. Oh, no, it was very, very bad. And just, they put in no effort. I mean, this is a movie where no effort was made. I think it's fair to say, right?
Well, they had t-shirts printed. There's some effort there, although maybe they knew somebody who could just make up some t-shirts for them.
Oh, God, paid for the movie with the money from their t-shirt shop.
Maybe.
Although, you know, they're just like bachelorette party t-shirts. It's not like it's anything fancy. So-and-so's party or whatever it said.
Kathleen's Bachelorette.
There you go. So, yeah, it was not a great movie by any criteria you want to apply great moviedom to. And, oh, by the way, like, I've often chided movies for following the rule that for pretending that there is a real rule that people have to be missing for 24 hours before the cops will investigate. This is like the worst example of that fake rule I've ever heard in my life. Because literally a woman calls and says, you know, my friends have been kidnapped and I heard gunshots and one of them's been shot. And the cops say, they've only been gone for 4 hours. Stop wasting my time. I'm reporting a crime that is happening right now. Call me when the crime happened 24 hours ago.
Yeah. Well, the other major problem with that is you're dealing with foreigners.
Yeah.
You would think that the authorities would want to get on top of that right away.
If it's a tourist-based economy, yes! You would think the cops would... be like, oh, maybe the fact that tourists are being kidnapped and brutalized in our tourist town is something we might want to look into. Oh, God. You know, this isn't End Soon the Darkness. There's no white slavery ring being run by the cops. Wow, it was pretty bad. Although I gotta say, I'll give them this. The heroes do the thing is, one smart thing happens, but it's not like the heroes chose to do it, in that the villains get cocky enough to assume that nobody but them speaks Spanish, and it turns out someone does. But it's not like the heroes planned it that way and were doing something smart. I just thought that was a nice development.
Yeah, that sort of accidental, I've discovered your dastardly plan.
Well, yeah, because it comes into something that I was talking about that I notice living in an apartment building largely, inhabited by non-English speaking people, is that when I'm in an elevator with English speaking people, even if it's like two people who know each other, they're very reticent to talk in front of me or really anyone else because people don't like having private conversations in front of a crowd. But if I'm in an elevator with two Chinese people, they will just continue having their conversation at full volume that they were having while waiting for the elevator because they are 99.9% sure that I don't speak Mandarin. And I just find that phenomenon interesting that I've noticed it with all sorts of different languages. And the weird part is, it's like English is the only language in the world that you can never be 100% sure that the stranger you're standing next to doesn't speak it.
So weird.
It is weird, right? Because wherever I am, if when I go to Quebec, I can't be 100. It's like I can't start talking crap. Like, again, my girlfriend works in retail, and the people who speak French talk crap about the store in a way that English-speaking people never would. Because, they're openly criticizing everything about the store because they're relatively sure the English-speaking women there don't speak French, right? But I would never go to Quebec and start talking crap about a store I was in because I have no, even if the guy said bonjour when I walked in, I would have no way of being certain he didn't also speak English. And that's the weird thing about only speaking English. Like, you never have that comfort zone of being able to privately talk to a friend in front of someone else.
That's why Anonymous and I once decided that we would learn another language just so we could have those conversations in public.
Tell you
But
that.
we couldn't decide on a language. I think we'd settled on German. It's like,
No,
you know what? A lot of people probably speak German a lot more than we realize.
actually, do you know what the best thing to learn is?
What?
Sign language. Nobody
Yeah.
learning,
No.
not even deaf people are learning sign language anymore.
I work with a guy now who used to sign, actually.
Yeah, really? 'Cause was he deaf or?
No, I think, but his grandmother was deaf. There was a reason why he learned how to sign, and he doesn't sign anymore, so he sort of lost it.
Well, I actually know someone who works as a sign language interpreter.
Yeah.
And apparently it is actually dying out.
Really? Oh, yeah, learn sign language. Then we can have, yeah, we can talk crap in front of other people
You
and they
can be
won't.
sure no one knows it. Apparently, what do you call it? Braille. Less people are learning Braille because of easy text to speech now existing. Sorry, fewer people. I know. Terrible grammar, and I apologize. Fewer people learning sign language again because smartphones really make it easy to communicate if you can't speak or hear. Like everyone can easily get information to you even if you can't hear them. So yeah. Also, and I mean this is the weird part, and I'm not saying that deaf culture is something we have to protect. This has gotten very far from the last resort. But supposedly, like, we're 2 years or 3 years away from those cochlear implants making deafness a thing of the past for anyone who has $15,000.
Wow.
Which is like, apparently, the technology is that good now.
Wow.
Isn't that creepy?
I gotta read up on that.
Yeah, read up on it, because I was just watching I don't remember if it was a Nova special or listening to NPR, but yeah, they're just like, there's not going to be deaf people anymore. Except for, and again, you want to talk about war on the poor, except for poor people because there's no health insurance in America. There's still going to be deaf poor people. All right, so since obviously we decided to go on a tangent about other languages and disabilities. I think we ran out of things to say about
the last resort.
Do you have a last word for the last resort? Or do you just want to appreciate that it is also technically a short film?
Yes. Was it 72 minutes?
It's like 72 minutes long.
Something along those lines. Oh, it was filmed partly in LA and partly in, I can't pronounce this place name, Zixis? Zix? It's a place that starts like ZZYX something.
Really?
Yeah.
ZZYX.
I can't, I think, I don't remember, but I, like, there is such a place. I know it exists, and this film was filmed there, in part, I think, only because they could put that in the credits.
Zaha?
Filmed on location in Zix. Yeah.
Zaha? Anyway, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I don't know how the Mexican locations are. I mean, I say Quetzalcoatl, so obviously I don't know how actual, you know, Mexican words are pronounced. You know, so don't trust me. I have no idea. All right. So let's move on to our final film of the evening.
Yes, our last movie of the night is Tormented. Justine is head girl. When Alexis takes an interest in her, she's sort of welcomed into the popular clique. But being popular isn't all that, especially when clique members are being killed off by the ghost of a kid they bullied until he committed suicide.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
I gotta say, bullying is really hardcore in British schools.
This is a real... You don't see a lot of movies about bullying.
Yeah.
And we probably should see more because it is a problem.
Well,
wow, is this heavy-handed.
I was just going to say that it's because half of America is pro-bully.
Right.
That's why you don't see a lot of movies about bullying, because you're cutting off half of the audience that, you know, actually likes bullying. You know? When you have presidential candidates in America, by the way, through the Looking Glass time, you have presidential candidates standing up for bullying.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sick. Where it's like, bullying is a huge problem in America. And then a presidential candidate puts her hand up. But I don't like gay people either. Maybe they should be bullied into suicide.
What?
Yeah, there's this anti-bullying bill that is just terrible because there was an exception saying that you could still bully people if you had a strongly held religious belief.
What?
And Michelle Bachmann was in favor of it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, if the bullying was based on a strongly held belief, children couldn't be punished for it. Yeah. Wrap your head around that one.
So, I don't...
now talk about how this movie is heavy-handed. That thing I just told you is real.
Holy shit!
Yeah, so in fact, it seems like maybe the a-hole gym coach who's pro-bullying isn't so bad as, you know, the government of a state in America that's pro-bullying.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a problem. Okay, so, heavy-handed, go.
I don't know, you just, like, I'm speechless.
It's terrible. I will say, first off, this was a big budget production. Like, this is we've been talking about a lot of crappy movies today, but this is very modest movies. This is a big budget British horror film, you know, with actors you'll recognize. And, you know,
although I'll point out, I thought I recognized one actor, and it turns out I was thinking of somebody else.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that the main bully is the guy from I Am Number 4. The star of, you know, kids sci-fi movie I Am Number 4. Yeah.
Okay, because I thought, like, the really big, tall guy, I thought he was in Wilderness.
Oh, was he not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Someone else, another actor who looks like him.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the main guy is actually in American movies now, so good for him. Made the leap. But anyway, this is a big budget movie. They didn't have the most money for extras. Let's just say that this is the least inhabited major school you're likely to see. A couple of crowd scenes, but this is a suspiciously empty public school for a lot of the time.
Right.
Which I found oddly suspicious. And the film, how shall I put this, has a couple of mixed messages. So let's, before we start talking about the subtext, what did you think of the horror-y aspects? Like, how do you think they executed the bullied guy's revenge plot?
Well, I thought the film actually has some serious tone problems.
Oh God, when it goes from, you know, to broad comedy in the kills, you mean?
There's sort of this broad comedy campy aspect to the kills, but it's a really serious subject matter, and they don't balance at all.
No, it does not fit in. You're completely right. And I noticed that, and it really kind of ticked me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you kind of think that, well, do you want me to take this bullying stuff seriously, or don't you? You know?
And then he just, and this kid who, like, his ghost, who's now getting his revenge upon the bullies.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he's sort of kind of, not even just a shadowy presence, but this sort of this off-screen presence.
Yeah.
And then it's not even like he slowly becomes
more manifest.
More manifest, thank you. He just suddenly, oh, he's there, and there's no question as to whether or not he's a ghost, because the movie begins with his funeral.
Yeah.
Or that he has, like, some evil twin, and it's a
looks like a
Christopher
Pike
novel. But, so that, like, he isn't there, and then he is there, and he's all there. There's no mystery or really supernatural element to it either.
Yeah. I mean, he is supposedly a ghost who, supernatural style, has a power item that, you know, gives him his strength. But it's not like he was raised from the dead or something. He just seems to be there. You know, there's no real explanation for how any of this happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, his rules, you know, come in, they're very few and far between what the rules are, and they seem to just be thrown at you, you know, willy-nilly.
Yeah, and he's also, like, he's a ghost with some anger management issues, because he starts targeting people that you wonder why he would go after them.
Yeah, the thing is, and this is where I wanted to get into the other text of the movie, where, how shall I put this, essentially, and this is what really kind of disgusted me about his character, because I guess partially because they make the villains, the bullies such scumbags, they want you to sympathize with his plight. Okay. That was a weird
key
one.
Keywords, I know. Yeah, they get you.
It's a different sound. Anyway, they want you to sympathize with his plight, but at the same time, he's kind of a scumbag, and I'll tell you why. He blames he blames the main character for also bullying him, even though, you know, she didn't even know who he was. Although she goes through this weird length of not knowing who he was for like 2 days in the movie. And I'm like, you know, you could look at a picture of him if you want to find out.
I know, seriously. Have you heard of a yearbook?
No, you know, you were the head girl who you
eulogized at his funeral. Access to information.
I know, about attendance and the people who go to your school. But anyway, he seems to blame her, and what really kind of sickened me about this little plot detail is he blames her for bullying him because, you know, she didn't stop people from bullying him, right? And this blame it entirely. She doesn't know he exists. He blames her because he feels that him having a crush on her makes her owe him something.
Mm-hmm.
And that really sickened me, because that claim goes unchallenged. And she talks about how she failed him too by not coming forward and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Unless he's going to kill every single person in the school who didn't intervene, you know, it's not any more her fault than anyone else's. He could kill the principal and the various teachers and whatnot, because it is more but it's not her fault. Like, him having a crush on her does not give her the responsibility to look out for him.
Right.
You know, and that the idea that him liking her gives him some possession over her really disgusted me, because that idea doesn't immediately turn him into a villain the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that you see what I mean about that point of view going unquestioned, right?
Yes.
Like, even she seems to accept the logic of that by accepting blame for his fate.
Yeah.
You know? And so I should have stepped in. And again, the thing is, maybe, you could say that because she was head girl, she had some duty to step in. But the fact is, like, isn't it, like, the same thing as just being valedictorian? She doesn't seem to have any responsibilities.
Well, I mean, I didn't... we went to the same high school where we didn't have that kind of...
It's only a British thing, so...
Hierarchy, I get, like, within the student
body.
But as head girl, I think, you know, she might have some responsibilities.
Well, no one defers to her, you know, and we never see her doing anything. Her position is never afforded any deference, so I don't really see what her authority might have been to step in. Because, and it's like you say, well, she could have stepped in. How? Like, the teachers saw this and did nothing, so what was the head girl supposed to do?
Right.
So, yeah, I
and
had...
And nobody liked her anyway, so it wouldn't have made a difference.
I know. No, and by the way, the villain, his war on this girl who is punishing for not, responding to his disgusting affections... Which, again, he's openly the villain of this thing.
He's got a secret crush on her. And then it gets, you know, the popular kids find out, who are all a bunch of assholes. So they tease him and get him to, I guess, approach her. She's on the phone, having just been accepted to Oxford.
Yeah.
And so she's actually not paying attention to anyone or anything at the moment. And he gets a panic attack, and then he has an asthma attack induced by the panic attack. And it just like.
Yeah. And so he takes this as her snubbing him
and it's her fault now.
Yeah. And really everything
that's gone wrong in his life is now her fault.
Exactly. And that's what really sickened me about it.
And that's why he kills himself, apparently, because we have his suicide note.
Yeah, and he openly blames her for his suicide in the suicide note.
And, like, we've all been the subjects of unrequited love, but come on.
Yeah, no, really? And again, she accepts responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says, it's not your fault.
The
fact that the film seems to be saying it is her fault is where I had a real problem, to the point where the villain frames her for murder and seems to be successful. Although
that's the thing I really didn't understand and really didn't like.
Yeah.
Are you really that stupid that you believe that she actually went around and killed all those people in these really elaborate ways? That she picked up that guy who's twice her size and impaled him on the fence?
Yeah, and when you add the fact that she had an alibi for most of the murders, and B, immediately after she's led away by the police, the ghost comes back and murders someone else the same way.
Yeah.
This is the least effective frame I have ever seen. And it defies belief that the cops would believe it would accept it for a second.
Yeah.
Also, thanks for ruining the ending with the opening shot of the movie, guys. Just brilliant move there. Like, and by the way, it's one of those ruining the endings that is the archetypical how to ruin your own movie adds nothing to the story. Because sometimes I accept that they want to put those in there to put in, you know, drama and action to, you know, offset a slow start. But this movie, like, we know something bad's going to happen right away because it starts with a funeral for a bullied kid. And within 10 minutes, someone has been brutally murdered. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they thought they had to, you know, start things off with her being arrested by the cops. Yeah, it really... So I guess what I'm trying to say is the movie Tormented really pissed me off.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I was offended by the gender politics and the complete mishandling of bullying, I guess, which we both agree is a severe problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this has been Count Vargelon gets super political all over everybody.
Unexpected.
I know, it sure. Really is. Oh, my God. Then again, you know what? It was unexpected, and I promise next week we will come across less serious subject matter. Or I hope. I mean, we're going to continue like choosing movies based on title, so we might stumble into more serious matter. I can't promise that, I guess. All right, so let's move forward.
Yes, to Narcissism Watch.
I recently posted. Someone had to point out to me that I had forgotten to post one of my Criminal Minds reviews, 513. I actually went back and, like, I noticed I had forgotten the thing, so I went back and wrote it so I would have the data for my Season 5 Week a Year in Review that went up last week. Mm-hmm. But I actually forgot to post the actual review.
Good job.
Yeah, it's quite embarrassing. It was a bad episode too, so I really am ashamed that I missed it. It was an episode, speaking of high school stuff, you know when TV shows do that thing where it's an episode that makes up some trend that kids are doing to try and scare parents?
Oh yeah.
It was one of those.
Oh wow.
So just like,
What was it?
Kids getting high by asphyxiating themselves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kids playing a game where they see how long they can choke themselves. I'm like, seriously, Criminal Minds? You've actually, like, you've now reached, like, the episode of Without a Trace where kids were having orgies.
Yeah.
You know, of, like, nonsense designed to scare parents about what their children are up to when they're not home. Come on. I'd say I thought you were better than this, but I knew you were this bad. I just didn't know you were this bad in this specific way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. But yeah, it was that episode. But I posted it now. And in fact, I've posted all the Criminal Mind reviews through the end of the year. So there will be no more gaps. I promise.
Great.
I know. I'm very proud of myself. Do we have poll results?
We have poll results, yes.
Oh, wait, I forgot to ask. Do you have any narcissism to watch?
Well, I don't, and I apologize, and I can give you an excuse, but really, it's not, yeah, it's my fault.
I did enjoy your new taglines, though.
Yes, I do have a new terrible moment in tagline. It's a movie called Bane.
Very bad tagline.
Which has just, it's not the worst that we've come across, but it's something special.
No, you really have to check Bane at the top of Zombots.
Yeah, so that's still on the front page there. But anyway, in the meantime, we have poll results. Last week's poll was, do you honestly secretly sometimes enjoy watching Goofy Bowl movies? And there is a tie between yes and no.
I like how you read the no to mean also yes.
Yeah. That's how I typed it. That's how... And then just a small percentage of you absolutely do not.
No,
honestly,
seriously.
Secretly
no.
Enjoy watching people.
Okay, good.
But most of you kind of do.
Oh, wow. I'm definitely in the minority on this one. Although I probably will watch Blubberella.
Oh, God.
Although I'm definitely not going to watch his drama about the Holocaust.
Auschwitz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from that.
Because seriously? Screw you, Uwe Boll. All right.
I just don't watch Holocaust movies in general. It's got nothing to do with him. I just stay away from.
It's too rough to watch Holocaust movies. You're absolutely right. All right. So I think that's it for this week. Next week on the AVOD, more movies that we picked randomly by title, or we might finally do our the three movies where Chuck Norris went horror show. So
yes, you keep pushing that one.
Been sitting on that one for a while. We went out. We got the movies. We just, you know, haven't gotten around to watching them yet. It's quite.
But until then.
But until next week, I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.